Good afternoon, everybody. Enjoying the summer weather, I hope. It's a little bit warm, but hopefully we'll get some moisture here soon. Not next weekend because of our camp out, so pray for a dry weekend next weekend. But I want to wish all of you a happy Father's Day. Father's Day weekend is this weekend, and tomorrow we'll be sharing time together as family. Hope you have a nice time, whatever you're doing with your family and your clan. Enjoy that day as well. Well, the year was 1939. Alan Milan was breeding thousands of new plants in acres of private gardens in the heart of France. Of his thousands of crossbreeds, he had one plant, number 3-35-40, that looked very special. Its petals were golden in color, and they were edged with delicate pink. The blossoms were enormous, 6 to 8 inches in diameter, large size. Nearly half the size of any other he had grown. And they displayed 25 or more blooms per year. And the plant was almost miraculously resistant to weather and to blight and to insects. Growers from all across Europe had liked this plant, number 3-35-40, and they'd asked for it. They received the budded grafting stock, but then Milan realized that the beginning of World War II would pose a threat to this flower's fate. So he dispatched seedlings to the growers in Italy and Germany and in the United States. One of his friends, Robert Pyle, was the consul in France, hid a few grafting stems in his diplomatic luggage. Couldn't do that today. Get stopped by customs. And he left for the United States in June of 1940. Then the United States entered the war, and all the transatlantic communications stopped. Nazi troops then destroyed Milan's greenhouses, and he had no inkling of what happened to his wonderful creation. It was not until many years later that he learned that the Germans had named this plant Gloria Dei, or to praise God. The Italians had named it Gioia, or to face life with a smile. In September of 1945, Milan received a letter from his friend Robert Pyle reporting that plant 3-35-40 had been an incredible success in the United States. It had won numerous prizes and an honor that had never before given to a rose, especially minted gold medal from the American Rose Society. Pyle had told Milan that he had had the plant patented for the Milan family in the United States. And even better, sales were incredible. They were enormous. And in late 1944, Pyle and the others picked the name for the rose. Many of you are probably rose growers. We are. We have several around our house. This rose is our favorite because of its color, its fragrance, and the size of its blooms. You might know the name of it. Do any of you recognize it? It's called peace. It's called peace. Does your life have peace? Growing peace in our lives is much like growing a rose. With some care and with some attention, we can enjoy the reward of peace. And so this afternoon, I'd like to give you 3 gardening tips for growing peace. I'd like to give you 3 gardening tips for growing peace. This one bloomed about 2 or 3 days ago, and it's been kind of spreading in the last couple of days, and this morning I cut it about 2 hours before services. Well, what is peace? Before we can understand how to obtain it, I think we need to know what it is and how it's defined. I broke it down into two areas. Physically, peace is a state of quiet or tranquility. You might think of a peaceful pond, perhaps you sit on and enjoy as the sun sets, or maybe a lonely beach that you've walked along at the feast time and you enjoy the quietness as the waves crash along the shore. Physically, it also can mean a freedom from disturbance or agitation. I interpret that as perhaps you're at work and there's no disturbances. People get along with each other. There's peace there. There's no agitation between the words that are said or the actions that take place. And of course, the main way that we know it is freedom from war. Freedom from war or contention, or commotion, or quarrels. Maybe between brothers and sisters, maybe between husband and wife, or maybe between brethren. There's no war. There's no contention. Then we can look at the emotional and the spiritual side. It means freedom from fear. Freedom from fear and anger or anxiety. Or quietness of mind. Quietness of mind or of conscience. It can mean harmony or concord. It's a state of reconciliation between parties who have been at variance. And most importantly, it is reconciliation with God. Peace means reconciliation with God. Physical peace is easily understood, isn't it? We can generally grasp that. But in many ways, peace in a spiritual sense or an emotional sense can be intangible, very intangible for us. It's often maybe something we only hope for because many turmoils face us in life. Why is that? Why is it intangible? Well, true peace only comes through the Holy Spirit. True peace can only come through the Holy Spirit because peace is a fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. But despite whatever turmoil that we may have, maybe we've gone through, we can have spiritual peace. We can have spiritual peace. So how do you grow peace? How do we grow peace? This is easy. How do we grow peace spiritually? Well, as I mentioned, it's like growing roses. Point number one is you use sunlight. Use sunlight. Roses prefer sun, full sun. But they perform very well with at least 6 hours of sunlight a day. We must be filling our minds with the light of God's truth. And then we must use it if we are to have peace. We must fill our minds with the light of God's truth and then use it to have peace. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 26. First, we must fill our minds. Isaiah 26 and in verse 3. God says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you." The New Living Translation says, "Whose thoughts are fixed on you." Is our mind stayed on God? Is it focused on him and his way? That we can take in that peace that is offered through his word? To fill our minds with that peace each day? Let's go back to Psalm chapter 119 and in verse 165. We must use the light of God's word and take it in. Isn't it comforting when you've had maybe a challenging couple of days and you pull out God's truth? Sometimes you try to open it up and your mind's maybe shattered with all the things that took place and it's hard to focus. But when we read God's word, it does bring a peace to us, doesn't it? Psalm 119, verse 165, it says, "Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble." The Barnes Commentary says that there is a great calmness. People are not troubled or anxious because they believe and feel that all things are well ordered by God and will be conducted to the best result. Therefore, they calmly leave all with God. They have a peace and calmness in their minds, even amidst troubles, disappointments, and reverses that can happen in life. The love of God is the only way to secure permanent peace in the soul. The love of God is the only way that can give us permanent peace in our soul, within us, the peace that we desire and often only hope for. We must take in of God's word to have that peace. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, using the sunlight of God's word. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. and His commandments are not burdensome. Keeping the commandments requires action. The expositor's commentary says that in respect to humankind, it means our willingness to lay down our life. In respect to God, it means that a life is willing of obedience, a relation of sonship with God in service on our behalf. That's how we can achieve peace, taking in and giving out God's word in action. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 20. This is speaking of avoiding adultery, but if we're using symbolism, we can relate adultery to things that entice us, things that tend to grab a hold of us and take us away from following the truth. Proverbs 6:20, it says, "My son, keep your father's command. Do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you." Interesting, the verbs there: lead, keep, and speak. All things that we desire, don't we, if we're trying to follow God's word? Leadership, guidance, God speaking to us, showing us the right way, and keeping us on the right path. A peace that can come through the truth. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress," to keep us from the wrong ways that Satan tries to hook us with, to keep us on the path of God. You know, reading God's word does offer us peace, can bring us hope, because this world is frantic. The newspaper is not very encouraging, that's for sure. Reading about the arsons that have been taking place and the other problems that are around. God's word brings hope, and it offers peace if we drink of it, if we take of it, and use it. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 19. It's not always easy to take in God's word when we're bombarded with the various things that attack our lives. Romans 14, 19. It says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace, and the things by which one may edify another." I like what the New Living Translation says, "Let us aim for harmony." Let us aim for harmony, using God's word to promote peace. We can go back to Isaiah chapter 32 and see how we can put God's word into practice to bring peace. Isaiah 32 and in verse 17 strikes right at the core of how we can use God's truth. It says, "The work of righteousness will be peace." The work of righteousness will be peace. "And the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." I like to have a quiet state occasionally, not have life always tumultuous, turning around. It says here, the effect of righteousness, the effect of doing good, following God's way, is quietness and assurance forever. Isn't that a wonderful promise that we can hope for and put into practice? Righteousness, cultivated by peace, produces tranquility of mind. Permanent security is one comment that I read. It's interesting that the word peace in both Hebrew and in Greek means completeness. It means soundness. It means trusted and safety. All things that we hope for and we desire as the world around us begins to collapse and Satan tries to take us away from following God. James 3 says that the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace. We are to seek peace in all that we do. And applying God's law guides our life into that peace. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. We can see that. Peace with others, reconciliation with God as we take in His truth and use the sunlight God's Word that He's opened us, our minds to see. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. This is speaking says, we'll back up in verse 67, it says, "Now his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied." And we come on down to verse 79, what was going to happen? "To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." The wonderful opportunity of living God's way, drinking in of the light, using the light, so that we can have peace and harmony in our lives, using sunlight. How else do you grow a rose? How else can you grow peace? Very simple. You add water. You add water. On the average, roses need 1 to 2 inches of water every week. That's kind of challenging now when we're under a water restriction. But a little in each morning won't hurt it. I'd rather save the roses, let the lawn grow brown. They require loose, well-fertilized soil that drains very well. Watering is recommended at the base of the plant rather than on the leaves. For us to have peace, we must be watering our minds by exercising God's Holy Spirit. We must be watering our minds by exercising God's Holy Spirit. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 29 and verse 11. Psalm chapter 29 and verse 11. God has given us the wonderful gift of His Holy Spirit, and we must use it if we are to have peace. Psalm 29 and verse 11. It says, "The Lord will give strength to His people." And again, we have a wonderful promise. The Lord will bless His people with peace. The Lord will bless His people with peace. But Barnes' commentary says that God will bless them with peace through the power by which He controls the tempest. The very Holy Spirit that God has given to us, His very essence and being that God has placed within us, is the power through which He can bring us peace. It says, "Let therefore not us be afraid in the storm, no matter how fiercely it may rage. Let us not be afraid of the troubles and the trials in the storm." And in those troubles and trials, God can make the mind calm. Peace through the Holy Spirit, if we're exercising it in our lives. Turn with me to Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6. It's not something we can do on our own, but if we're calling upon God, if we're building our relationship with Him properly, taking in of His Word, communicating with Him, that Spirit will be stirred up within us. Zechariah 4 and verse 6, this is speaking, trying to encourage those that had started the work on the temple. God was reminding them how it was going to take place. He says in the middle of the verse, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit." The Spirit that God has placed within us, power and of sound mind, can strengthen us and give us peace if we exercise it. Man's weakness is no obstacle, for God's might will perfect strength out of our weakness. We can read that from the Apostle Paul as well. "In weakness, I am made strong." Go with me to John chapter 14 and in verse 27. John chapter 14 and verse 27. What did Jesus Christ say on His last night with His disciples before He was crucified and beaten and then resurrected? He says, John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid." Because Christ was sacrificed, He gave Himself for us, the Helper has come. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, that gives us strength, can give us peace and comfort in our lives. Just over a couple chapters to chapter 17 and verse 22, what did Christ pray? He said, John 17:22, "And the glory which you gave me I have given to them, that we may be one, that they may be one just as we are one. I in them," how? Through the Holy Spirit. "You and me," through the Holy Spirit, "that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them as you loved me." The very essence of God within us gives us peace if we exercise it. God's nature is peace. He desires peace. And the very promise here says that He desires that we become one with Jesus Christ and with God the Father. Do we have peace in our lives? Roses require deep watering because they are deep-rooted plants. Soaker hoses allow the water to drip down near the base of the plant, penetrate the soil. We must let God's Spirit deeply penetrate our minds so that it will be flowing through us like the rushing river. Let's go back to Philippians 4 and verse 6. Adding water is a key ingredient. Drawing upon the Holy Spirit to strengthen us can give us peace. Philippians 4 and verse 6. I'd like to read this from the New Living Translation. You can follow along. Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7. "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. Thank Him for all that He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus." We'll guard our hearts and minds. Interesting, that's a military term. I think the New King James says, "shall keep." Let me look here first. That says "we'll guard" in the New King James. The New Living says "we'll shall keep." It means that it's like a castle or a camp that's being guarded by soldiers. It's preserved from the intrusion of anxious fears and alarms. I think that's a beautiful promise that God gives, that He will watch over our minds, guarding us, preserving us through His Holy Spirit, bringing us peace. God's Spirit frees us from fear. It frees us from anger. It frees us from anxiety. And it gives us a quietness of mind, doesn't it? Do we exercise that Spirit so that we can have those things? God's life living in us. Are you adding water to grow peace? Well, the third step in growing peace is to guard against insects and diseases. If you have roses, roses are very acceptable or susceptible to both insect and disease. Aphids and beetles are the most common insect pests. Aphids attach themselves to the petals, or excuse me, to these petals here, top and bottom, and they suck the juices right out of the plant. And if you have roses, you've seen the Japanese beetles, they get up inside the flower up in here, and they just kill the plant. Once the rose has the bugs and the insects on it, its main task is survival. It's not going to grow new flowers. Black spot and powdery mildew also weaken the plant if you get them. You might see one plant might have a few little spots down here on a petal. And within a couple of days, if you don't treat it, the whole plant is infected. The blooms begin to die, and the plant is basically trying to survive. You spray the roses to guard them. They have various sprays you can put to protect and to kill the things that are attacking it. We must have a strong relationship with God to guard our minds and to guard from the insects that can attack us. We must have a strong relationship with God to protect ourselves. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 6. What are the things we need to guard against? Proverbs chapter 6 and in verse 16. God makes it pretty clear. Proverbs 6 and in verse 16, God outlines a list for us of insects and diseases that can attack us. "These six things the Lord hates." Better pay attention. God's going to tell us what he doesn't like. Yes, seven are abomination to him. A proud look. A haughty ambition that we might have. Perhaps at some state, maybe a willful rebellion against doing what is right. What does God desire? The flip side of that coin is humility. Humility. A lying tongue. Words can be hurtful. Remember the phrase, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words will never hurt me? Words can hurt. Words can be hurtful. A lying tongue can be very slanderous, can destroy someone's reputation. God desires truthful speech. A lying tongue is something we need to protect against. Hands that shed innocent blood. This can be thoughts or actions, maybe, that we do to promote ourselves, perhaps. Destroying another doesn't necessarily have to be the action of killing. Remember the principle from the New Testament where Christ talks about if we hate, that can be the same as killing. A heart that devises wicked plans. Do we scheme? Do we try to do something that harms another? Or are we trying to preserve life as God requires of us? Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. We are to have pure thoughts, and we should be eager to do good. We should be honest in our communication. And one who sows discord among brethren rather than peaceful harmony. These are the insects and bugs. Just a few. You can go back and read in Galatians the works of the flesh. But these are the insects, the diseases that we need to protect against. Let's be honest. I think each of us may have been guilty at one time or another with these actions or attitudes. I have. Can't hide that. We can repent and move on. Ask for help. When we're tired, are our words hurtful? Do we say the wrong thing to our mate? Or maybe a co-worker? Causing agitation and not peace. Does our anger cause us to hate and get upset with another? Does our lust cause us to devise wrong actions? Those are the insects that we must guard against. None of these attitudes promote peace. All of them weaken us. They suck the water out of our lives. They take the Holy Spirit and cause us to have contention. They don't produce spiritual fruit. So how do we guard against them? Turn with me over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 3. How do we guard against insects, diseases that come into our lives through the attitudes that are broadcast from Satan, through our own nature that is within us that we're trying to change? 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. God gives a wonderful promise. If we are taking in the sunlight, exercising His Holy Spirit, it says, "The Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one." Is our relationship strong with God that we experience peace? Is our mind guarded in that respect? If God's word is only in the book and not in here, we're not guarded. We're not guarded against the insects. And we can be easily overcome with the disease that can come our direction. Satan will use doubt, and he'll use worry, discouragement, and depression to make us complacent. And we'll lose our treasure of the truth. Go with me back to Psalm chapter 119. Verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We have to guard our mind, guard the precious truth that God has given us. And we can be strong, strengthened, and become a beautiful plant, producing fruit for God's kingdom. Let me read to you from the May 2000 World News and Prophecy. It says, by prayer and righteous living, we stay tuned to Christ. Walking in God's laws and instruction insulates us from the course of the world and its deceptions. The natural byproduct of this close relationship with God is being alert to religious deception. Those who frame their life around the coming kingdom will vigilantly watch and keep themselves from the wiles of Satan. Let's turn back to Ephesians 6. We know this scripture probably from memory. Ephesians 6 and verse 10, Mr. White gave a sermon on this a few weeks ago. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We can only do that if our relationship is strengthened. And we're taking in of God's truth. We're exercising His Spirit. And we're calling upon Him to help guard our minds. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. Verse 7. James 4 and verse 7. Are we close to God? Regarding the truth, James 4 and verse 7. Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. We need to be guarding ourselves against the insects, the disease that can attack us, and very quickly take us from following what we know to be right. Turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3. We must have a strong relationship with our Father if we are to protect our minds. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. I'd like to read this from the Message translation. Down through verse 5. It says, you're going to find that there will be times when people have no stomach for solid teaching. They will fill up on spiritual junk food, catchy opinions that tickle their fancy. They'll turn their backs on the truth and they'll chase mirages. I like the way that's written. Chase mirages. Something that's false. It's a picture out there that you think is a good thing, but it's not. It's a mirage. It vanishes very quickly when you go to touch it. Much like what can come our way. The enticements, the hooks that Satan throws, they're mirages. Verse 5, it says, but you, keep your eye on what you're doing. Accept the hard times along with the good. Keep the message alive. Do a thorough job as God's servant. I really like the way that reads. Keep the message alive. Treasure the truth. Guard against the insects that attack us. We must be a watchman over our mind, who is very determined to guard and protect the precious truth that God has given to us, if we are to grow peace. The American Rose Society introduced peace on April 29, 1945. By extraordinary coincidence, Berlin fell just as the actress Jenks Falkenberg was christening the rose in Pasadena, California. Peace was also presented to the 49 delegates at the very first United Nations conference on VE Day, or Victory in Europe Day, May 8, 1945. It received the American Rose Society's first gold medal on the very day that the peace treaty was signed with Japan. No rose before or since has had such triumphant success. And although the world is still troubled with wars, the peace rose continues to spread beauty and serenity. This is our favorite rose. Maybe you have a rose that's your favorite. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. Peace takes work. It takes effort. But it's a wonderful promise that we can enjoy in our lives. And if we're promoting peace, God gives us this promise in Matthew 5 and in verse 9. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." We look forward to that coming time. Peace is a wonderful blessing. And like gardening, it takes work. So I would encourage you to plant peace in your garden.